This is Scott Beck with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. We're joined by the brilliant Matt Wolf. Matt's a senior leader at RSM, a brilliant private equity-driven advisory firm, really originally an accounting firm, but a huge practice in quality of earnings, diligence, and other areas in private equity, one of the real leaders of the space. We're going to talk today about ESG, because this seems to be the thing of the day, ESG investing, and particularly Elon Musk and some of the discussions around Elon Musk and Tesla being excluded from ESG perspectives as an investment, even though he's the sort of grandfather of electronic vehicles and the leader in that area, which seems to be the favorite of ESG investors. But somehow or another, he's gotten astray from the ESG sort of viewpoint. Matt, tell us what is going on here. Help us understand what's going on with ESG and with ESG and Elon Musk, and what exactly is happening here.
Yeah, happy to. Thanks for having me on, Scott. It was quite the commotion in the ESG community yesterday when S&P announced that they were excluding Tesla from their ESG index as part of their kind of spring rebalancing. And, you know, on the surface, from a headline perspective, that is very curious, especially when you consider that Exxon is still in the ESG index. If you read into what happened, it begins to make more sense, but still makes for really interesting conversation, I think. And basically what happened was S&P aims to keep their ESG index similarly weighted to the overall S&P 500. So that means they're going to have some, you know, fossil fuel companies, and there's some weighting towards fossil fuels. Then how they determine those weightings within those global industry classification codes is based on the relative performance amongst those ESG metrics. So Exxon is a fossil fuel company. You know, they're making a transition. They still have a large fossil fuel carbon footprint, all that. However, relative to their peers in that global industry classification system, they're actually performing fairly well. It doesn't make them a clean company necessarily, but relative to their peers, they're performing well. And Tesla's stake, their GICS classification is automakers. And the story is more that other automakers over the past year have really improved their performance along these various ESG metrics that S&P tracks based on each company's disclosures. And some of Tesla's metrics fell into the bottom quartile for their industry group, and that led to their exclusion. So it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, doesn't mean that Exxon is a cleaner or more environmentally friendly company than Tesla. It just means that relative to industry peers, you know, Tesla has lost a little bit of ground to other automakers.
Right. But isn't it fascinating? I mean, this is sort of the politics of deciders deciding who's what, and sort of the, and this is, I guess, kind of why I'm such a Elon Musk fan in this concept of being a free speech absolutist. I mean, anybody that would say, even if GM has done more stuff in the recent past to try and get themselves to be more carbon friendly, I mean, the concept that Elon Musk and Tesla itself is less carbon friendly than the other automakers, you can look at all the different stats you want to, but Elon Musk and Tesla are producing electric cars, and GM, Ford, all these others are doing such on a very, very small scale basis right now. And so it leads to people looking at it and scratching their heads as to the ludicrousness of the assessment. It would be the perspective when Musk is off of it, but Exxon or Chevron's on it as an ESG index. You know, when at least the whole world perceives that electric cars are far better for the environment than our fossil fuel driven cars, it really gets to the question of who decides on the criteria of what's ESG or not? And will it be something that feels legitimate to all of us? Or will it feel ultimately like very bastardized and very politically narrative driven? Because Elon's obviously, he's not popular with certain crowds for being some, sort of almost an outspoken libertarian. And of course, you could certainly say his rocket company, SpaceX, well, that's not ESG driven because the SpaceX creates a horrible carbon footprint as this Blue Origin. But Tesla, it's hard to say, is not a leader in the environmental side. But really a fascinating, but doesn't it lead to a bigger issue of how do you really judge what's ESG, and does it become politically narrative driven, or does it become a real criteria that all of us can get our hands around?
Oh, absolutely. It's a fantastic question and discussion point. And I guess from my perspective is that, you know, ESG, I think, as a broad concept is good. Like these reporting things, the idea is let's bring non-financial information into these discussions around price. And if we think back to Econ 101 and what is required for a functioning market, you need to incorporate all the information. And right now, market pricing signals, whether it's buying a car, hiring an employee, contracting with another company, we're missing a lot, almost all of that non-financial data, right? So we're making pricing decisions, buying and selling whatever goods, services, securities with a pretty incomplete set of data. And what ESG is trying to do is to bring more data to that discussion, which I think is a good thing. But we're at the point in that evolution where, you know, I've lost count of even how many frameworks there are. You know, we disagree and we don't have clarity on what are those new important data points that we should care about. You know, we're all very good at looking at financial statements and understanding revenue and EBITDA and, you know, operating margins, contribution margins, all these things that we've been doing for centuries, really. This is all very new information to investors, to executives, to leaders, to employees, and it's going to take us some time to collectively process that information.
No, and it's absolutely fascinating to my perspective, because it almost gets to, does the emperor have no clothes, or are people going to manage to set a characteristics that are so politically narrative driven versus truly driven towards, you know, meritocracy or truly the environment or truly social or truly governance? Or is it going to simply be somebody's going to put their scorecard and somebody's going to manage that? In the healthcare sector, for example, there are all these consulting firms that publish lists of the best healthcare systems. And the trick to being on some of those lists is you have to use the consulting services of the party that puts together the list, manage to those criteria, and then you're on that list for quality. And it strikes me as completely, it becomes arguably irrelevant to truly quality. It becomes, did you manage the consulting firm's list criteria? And here you can end up with a set of ESG matrices that are really don't feel heartfelt like they're ESG driven, but the whoever's matrix is putting the matrix together. And sort of when Tesla, the leader in electronic vehicles, gets knocked out of the S&P list, it does leave people scratching their heads. Is this political punishment for Elon Musk being a libertarian, or is it truly driven by a good set of characteristics and a good set of like things that make sense, both in writing and on their face and sort of, you know, in a quick intuitive sense? Are they sensible criteria, you know, of ESG? I mean, you look at sort of the largest oil companies and you think, you know, traditionally not beacons of diversity on their boards, not beacons of socially being forward, managing within today's world to move away from fossil fuels. And again, I'm not one to demonize fossil fuels. I believe there's some kind of transition that's going to be made on everything. And we got to figure out whether we could really support all these electronic vehicles. I'm not demonizing fossil fuels. But if the ESG crowd has decided that fossil fuels are bad, how do you end up with one of the biggest fossil fuel manufacturers on this versus the biggest electronic car maker? And I guess your point being, look, they need things from all categories. And so Exxon or Chevron may be the best of the worst category, but they're still going to be in the index. Whereas right now, GM is politically favored. They're close with Washington. They're hitting some of the social cues correctly on the ESG side. And thus, even though they're so far behind Elon Musk and Tesla as an electric car maker, they're going to end up making the list in that category versus Tesla. And it does strike somebody as bastardized politics. And, you know, I mean, again, there may be sense behind the curtains, but it's always helpful when we as citizens can understand, or as investors can understand the curtains well, have transparency into what really drives
them.
What a fascinating discussion. I mean, I do worry about Elon Musk that he's going to wear himself out with so many different battles, because I know, you know, I'm older than he is, and my life couldn't take that many conflicts every day. And I do worry he'll burn himself out by having conflicts on so many different spots each day, whether it's with the Twitter people, the S&P people, President Biden people, other people, you know, whoever it might be. It just seems like a lot of energy that goes into conflict management. And he may need a course on conflict management, Matt.
He might be the teacher of the course. I don't know how he does it either. It's remarkable. And I do, kind of going back to the ESG conversation, I mean, I think it's a really important point, though. And if we go, you know, like, what is important, right? Is it just purely carbon footprint? You know, the other thing S&P mentioned with respect to Tesla is, you know, human rights violations, other worker concerns, conditions at their plants. And, you know, if we kind of make an analogy to financial metrics, it would sort of be like, this is maybe an inexact analogy, but it's the best I can think of, is, you know, if you're excluded from an index because, you know, your revenue growth wasn't high enough, but, you know, maybe you have an awesome margin, right? And so, you know, some investors will say, well, that's fine, I don't care about the revenue growth, I want this margin. Others will say, yeah, I want revenue growth, not margin. But you know, so provide, and there's something fundamentally flawed with trying to, you know, because before, inclusion in an index was purely based on financial metrics. Now we're looping in all the categories of non-financial information, trying to come to a singular conclusion. And it is very confusing. And it is, I agree, it's very confusing optics. And I had a lot of calls yesterday about this from people saying, like, how can this happen? This doesn't make sense. It is a scam, like Elon said. And I just think we're at this point where we're trying to fold so much new information into pricing decisions. There's going to be missteps, and we're going to have to just kind of sort this out as an investor and business leader community to figure out what that means going forward. But in the meantime,
the point is,
he says on Twitter,
but it has very, very real economic issues, because if you're a private equity fund and you're deemed ESG, you know, appropriate, then all of a sudden you're open to a whole number of pension funds that you might not otherwise be open to. So CalPERS might look at you more positively. A whole bunch of pension funds might look at you more positively if you're viewed as ESG positive. The same thing with being in these indexes. If you're within these indexes, there are so many index investors that all of a sudden your market cap, your valuations are improved, because you get automatically bought into by a ton of index investors. And being out of indexes automatically hurts your valuation a little bit, because now you're not in the index. And so it has real, real economic implications. And so you want to make sure that the decisions are being made in a thoughtful way, not by narrative-driven, political-driven people, that they truly make some sense to us all. So there's real economic implications to private equity funds and to others. And we've talked about this often. You get, you know, the largest money manager in the world today, or one of the largest, you know, BlackRock, over the last year has had an ESG conversion. It's all of a sudden very, very pro-ESG, and a company that's always viewed as a very capitalist company. Not bad or good or bad to be so capitalist, but all of a sudden to be branding themselves so much as we're ESG forward is a fascinating evolution for many of us to watch. Not bad nor good, but fascinating.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's an interesting point. And my view as very much leaning in as a capitalist, I would describe myself that way. I think, you know, if we can figure out how to parse this additional information into our investment decisions, then we'll all make better investments, right? I mean, I think that our pricing mechanisms are very fluid. They're great in most markets, but they're missing a lot of information. If we want a more perfect, a more optimized market in which to conduct, you know, capitalist endeavors, we need more information. And I think this can be an important part of that information, but, you know, we're still just trying to figure out, well, which parts of the ESG information are important? How do we parse it? Who is the sort of arbiter of what is or isn't ESG? These are all very important questions that we have yet to solve.
In this issue, you hit it exactly right. It's who is the arbiter? It becomes so important on all these things. It's like when the government says we're going to have a disinformation board, it becomes this great question of who is the arbiter of all of this. And it's a fascinating discussion, and it's why I, again, am a large fan of the Elon Musk perspective. And there's lots of negatives on it, lots of positives of being what he calls a free speech absolutist or close to it. Because when you start having other people decide to be the arbiters of what's information, what's disinformation, what is ESG, what's not ESG, you end up with fascinating discussions, particularly there's not a great deal of transparency on those discussions. But fascinating. Matt, as always, thank you for joining us. Thank you for teeing up such an interesting subject. You're magnificent. And I hate to preach so much, but thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. I always love our conversation, Scott.